Welcome back to season 4 of The Good, The Bad, The Family. I'm Annalise Lucero, licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm so excited that you've joined us for our newest season. Today, I welcome my guest, my husband, Nathan Lucero, and we're talking about all things having to do with being a man, raising boys, and understanding our relationship to the patriarchy and what it means to our family and also to our important community around us. I'm so excited you joined us, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
You got your shit together and you're ready to do this?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I'm ready. Okay, so this is episode 1 of season 4 of The Good, The Bad, The Family.
So cool.
So, okay, so something that's interesting about this episode, it's 10:11 at night. We've not been able to find time when the two of us can sit and record an episode together. Without
for
being,
3 weeks.
Yeah, for like without being drop dead tired. So
I was tired when I got home.
I know. We both had an energy drink. We put the kids to bed and we're like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And here we are doing it. Okay. So today I wanted to open season 4 talking to the most important man in my life. Yes, you are the most important man in my life.
You make me smile.
The entire season 4, for me, I really want it to be about understanding the role that men play in my life. Because I think in culture and society right now, there's a lot of focus on like how men are showing up in their relationships, in their home life, at work, as leaders, as mentors, and just members of society as a whole. And so I really wanted to focus this season on not just following what's popular or, you know, fighting against the narrative. I want to really be in a self-discovery mode and reflect on my relationship with men, or just like my own children. All three are boys, my husband, my father, men in my family, like generationally, my brother-in-laws, like I have a lot of men in my life that I care about. And so today I wanted to talk about what it is like to care about men, to love men in your life, but to feel, for me personally, to feel a sense of anger towards patriarchy. And I believe that men are negatively impacted by patriarchy. And so I just thought, let's have a conversation about it.
That's that makes a lot of sense. Just men are affected by that.
Mm.
And it didn't start from a woman.
Mm. Well, what do you know about patriarchy? Like,
oh, I mean, patriarchy, if you remember the John Adams series.
Oh, on HBO?
On HBO.
Okay.
Okay. I believe it was Abigail Adams was her name. And she was the backbone of his entire life. And like, but she didn't have an opportunity to be in front of John Adams.
Mm.
The only reason why the Defense Department at the time was built on protecting the borders was because of her in his ear.
Mm.
She had his ear and complete trust. And after George Washington's time frame, it was like, what do we do now? Well, they'd had an election, John Adams won, and the Defense Department was in disarray. She's like, focus on the homeland. Protect the borders.
So what I'm hearing you say is that patriarchy is where like men are in the spotlight. Men get the glory.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. Oh, that's a great idea, Annalise. Let's make sure your husband
yeah.
runs that.
Yeah. I'm all, look, great triggered, idea. Triggered.
Great. Yeah. Yes, that's a trigger for probably every single female listener or a friend of yours would probably be triggered by it. That was my idea. Well, you have allowed me to use my participation in something that you have led for me to use that for my gain and my advantage in my professional life.
Well, I don't know if that like necessarily is a bad thing to support each other and to, to, you know, give advice or lean an ear in or, you know, be that kind of wall you can bounce ideas off of. I think when I think about patriarchy, it's a system that's designed for men. It's designed for men to lead, to be in charge of, but it's all, everything that happens within the patriarchy is for the benefit of men. And I think, like, I'm not an expert in this area. And so I'm kind of reflecting on how this plays a role in my job as a therapist and how often it can really impact people that, like, everything that we know and understand about our culture and society in the United States is around patriarchy. Like everything is developed to benefit men in some way, whether it's financially, mentally, physically, emotionally. Patriarchy is so interwoven into Western civilization.
So I haven't studied all the religions. But I mean, it goes even further back, right? Because you think about the Jewish, the Catholic, the Christian, the Muslim, and they are centered around the man leading.
Yes, men hold power.
Since the beginning.
And I don't think it's just power necessarily like in the church, you know, men hold power in the sense that they control the money. Even in politics, traditionally, like, men control the money, men control the knowledge, the education, because for many years, women were not really allowed to attend schools. In many other cultures, women are not allowed to even like learn how to read or write. And so I think it's all in a way to suppress anyone that does not fit this mold or this idea of what male is, man is.
Yeah, that happens today.
Well, and so I think for me, understanding that, like, not every man wants to subscribe to this system. And I was watching this TikTok, and I can't remember who it was. And so I will look for it later and quote it in the podcast caption, but or the podcast notes. But it was talking about matriarchy and how many people think that matriarchy is the opposite of patriarchy. But matriarchy is about community. It's about like doing what's best for the community and not this opposite of like, oh, women have all the power and women hold all the power in this system. It's more of we all in a matriarchal system, we all think of what's best for the community and the group and the collective, which is not how patriarchy is structured. And so for you being a man in this world, being in the military, being what I would consider, you know, to be very masculine, what is it like for you to exist in a world where there is a certain standard of man and only the men who meet that standard hold the power?
No, it holds you back tremendously. Someone like me, it holds me back tremendously. I can't fix a hole in my roof. I need to call somebody.
But what does that make you feel?
Makes me feel weaker. Makes me feel less of a man. Especially when I have you around. You know, you would probably watch a video or two and just try it out and be good. You know what I mean? I don't even have that level of man. Just trying something and failing. Mm. Right? I'm teaching our three men in training, our boys. You got to fail fast and you got to do it and, you know, do it, fail fast, learn from it, and don't be scared. I am scared. Mm. And that's not manly, you know? So those things hold you back. And man society, patriarchy, You know, stoic, right? Strong, opinionated, loud, in charge, never wavering, right? The stoic piece, you know? So that's kind of like, I think, a man, society, patriarchy lens. And not every man fits that at all. I know I don't.
No, right.
I would rather think out loud with a triangle of people I trust. And then if it is my decision, then yeah, I'll make the decision. No problem.
Why do you think that these qualities that you're describing are what you have come to know as being held at a higher standard for men?
I think that what I've learned in my professional life, some of my collegiate life, but mostly my professional life, because that's when I started therapy, like as like a volunteer. And it all starts with your nuclear family. It all starts with who the man of the house was. And like, my parents were rocky when I was five. That was one of my earliest memories. And then, when, you know, 6 years later, which can go fast as we have experienced together, they were divorced. And like, but my dad's job, he used his hands, right? Like he used his hands. Like he's a dentist and he gets in there. He gets dirty with some gloves on and like he has to clean and he has to create and he has to, you know, fix. That is also what a man does, right? Gets dirty, can fix things, right? To me, that's like what I was modeled, but I didn't have any repetition in doing any of that at the house other than cleaning, right? Like chores, right? Sweep, pick up, pull weeds, right? Like labor.
Do you feel like that like is like a common experience for many people in our generation where you are conditioned to be like, you are told this is your role in society. This is who you're supposed to be, but we're not going to teach you how to be it. We're not going to show you anything that's helpful. We're just going to tell you that you have to meet this standard and good luck. You know, here's your backpack. Go make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so frustrating.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, like I can literally give you an example in several walks of my life that is what was expected with zero training, with zero context, with zero why behind it.
Yeah.
With zero how. And so what?
But why do you think it was these roles or these behaviors, these ways of thinking that became separate?
Yeah.
Like, this is what men do. This is what women do.
Ooh.
And these are the roles you're supposed to fill. Because I know and understand that culture is moving away from this. But for some people, for many people who don't have, who are not actively seeking change.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we are actively seeking change. We pursue information that is contrary to how we grew up. So for people who are not actively seeking change, they're still living in this way of life where men do this, women do this. And so why do you think it was that this patriarchal system chose those things for men and these things for women? I have a theory.
Well, I'm sure your theory is spot on. But I mean, it comes down to like, it's ugly. Like, heterosexual couples have babies and the man doesn't have the baby. And the connection from the baby to the mom needs to be there, has to be there. And the dude has to go get the food.
Yes. This is what we're told. And this is what we're taught.
This is what we've taught. And who fucking knows how good the teaching was of our history.
Well, okay. No, it wasn't that good.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Like, who knows? Because, docuseries on like the babies, I forgot what it was called.
Oh, from all the different cultures.
From all the different cultures.
Sure.
The Asian one, the, sure. Sure. They lived in a hut, right? And, the dad got the food.
Oh, from Malaysia.
From Malaysia. Right. And the lady was skinning the damn food.
Well, right, because like, what we've come to understand...
He didn't do anything else.
Well, right, because...
He killed it. Good job, dude.
But he also helped take care of the baby.
Oh, yeah.
From what I remember. But I think that, like, this idea that men were hunters and gatherers and women, you know, did what women do. I'm, like, having, like, one of those 10 p.m. brain farts right now. But we know that that history is not... completely accurate because it was told through the lens of patriarchy, which is men wanting to maintain power and control. Mm. And so, yeah, in the story that men tell, just like we learned about Christopher Columbus, right? In the story that men tell and men pass down, it will always be that men hold the power and control. So it's not necessarily reality, and it's always through this biased lens. Because now we know through anthropology and the study of, you know, all these tools and history and the art that people left behind, that women did hunt. And so this idea that, oh, well, it's just in your blood. It's in your DNA. It's women weren't meant to be hunt. It's all lies. Mm. So we've been lied to. The veil is being lifted. People are choosing sides. And now we have to unlearn all these things and try to learn and understand a different way, but we still exist in a patriarchal system. So I think, again, it's like, well, but why was being stoic, being loud, being confident, being strong, being brave, like all these masculine labeled behaviors and emotions, which were labeled masculine by patriarchy, why were those chosen?
And why not the opposite, right?
Well,
strong emotions, crying, right? I don't know, but like that's what I see, and that's what I grew up in.
Yeah, I think this separation in labeling behaviors and emotions as masculine or feminine was done to maintain power and control, right? That like if we, and I think especially in the sense of if we allow women to become loud, if we allow women to have the space to be brave and that be acceptable, we lose power and control as men. And so I think you see that battle now as women have started going to school and being educated and learning about the world around them and teaching other women and experiencing these things. And then now creating a system where they hold high positions and jobs. They are leaders. They have a voice. They're loud. They're brave. They're courageous. These more masculine labeled behaviors and emotions. It's interesting to see then how like that starting to disrupt the patriarchy, and it's like that rubber band where it's like now it's fighting back even harder.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was another video that I saw on TikTok where they were talking about what's the opposite, or no, it was toxic masculinity. And so what is like non-toxic masculinity? And I loved what this creator said. It's personhood. There is no non-toxic masculinity because there isn't really a masculine and a feminine because we're just people. These things are experienced by everybody, not just men or women.
Nice.
It's when you have an experience of a range of emotions, a range of thoughts, a range of feelings, it is personhood. And I thought, yeah, that is a very clear way of understanding something and helping people to stop categorizing these very human experiences as masculine or feminine or bad or good, right? Like everything we experience is important to our humanness.
Yeah. And I think that personhood just is like another way of saying, yeah, you're not alone, man. Like this has happened before. Mm-hmm. You're not the only person that has gone through this. You know, we can connect you to that group, to those folks, to that page, to that whatever, because you're not the only one that's gone through that. And like, that is probably the best way to kind of start crushing through a patriarchy that's been built since, since I haven't studied some anthropology article yet that told me when it started.
What do you think it would be like for you to not feel pressure to meet a certain standard for being a man?
I think that I wouldn't even know where to start because the pressure is there. So I have to, like you've been saying, I'd have to unlearn a lot. That would take time because there's really not anything telling me that I have to unlearn anything. No, dude, like you got to keep going, charge along. This is what you're supposed to do. Breadwinner, support, you know, provide. Mm-hmm. Other things that I've been taught since the beginning of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's how you're supposed to do it. That's how you're supposed to do it. You got to have a house. You got to have things. And that's what you're supposed to do for your family. And that's all you're responsible for. Really. Right?
The providing
part. The providing, dude. And it's like, yeah, the providing, you can take that 150 different slices, right? Yeah, you got to provide a lot. But money is the main, the breadwinning, the food on the table thing.
It sounds like what you're describing is this like machine of capitalism where like all these people who have families, these men who start a family, they're feeding the machine, right? I've got to go to work. I've got to provide. I've got to keep the machine going. And I think that that system is what like helps these larger owners and CEOs who make all this mega money. They need you believing that your role is to provide so you keep feeding the machine. I'm sure I've heard that somewhere and I'm just like regurgitating it.
Yeah, it might have been The Matrix.
Is that what I heard it from?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just like plugged in.
Oh my God.
And like they're the energy and the system is running and they have all the power.
Yeah, but do you think that that in some way is like what people have been fighting and it's like it just ebbs and flows where people gain power and then they lose it and then they gain power and then they lose it. And we've slowly been passing generation to generation, more power, more fuel, more knowledge to fight against this system that I think is really hurting people. Like patriarchy does not benefit a man like you.
I just am like, I know I'm stuck in the system, right? My job is the biggest bureaucracy, one of them, in the country. And the lip service that I bought into has hurt me. Mm. And that lip service was emotional intelligence and fight for clarification. Those two mainly have really cut me deep. Worked with some, but not, you know, a lot of them. And just that flexibility is really what they're looking for, because that's the thing that they preached the most was be flexible, right? Because like the mission needs what it needs at the time.
Be flexible or be malleable?
No, flexible. Like one of the phrases is, you know, first plan, you know, it's like the Mike Tyson thing, right? You have a great plan until you get punched in the face. So like, you gotta be flexible. You gotta adapt your plan.
It sounds more like it's so they can bend you and you don't break.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the mission needs to get done, right? And then how they go about it is really interesting. Right. Because everyone's different. Every leader's different. And the system, because it is made It is a system of a bureaucracy that is if you're going to change it, I mean, it's got to be disrupted and you got to have, you know, the current four stars, like having accountability simplified for them so that it can really be, you know, everyone is aware of what has happened when they instituted this thing. Because if it's not going to be institutionalized, if it's not going to be the new way things are working, and the change that's going to happen at the system level, like, it is impossible to see that the emotional intelligence, the 360-degree feedback, and the fight for clarification could actually, like, take hold at the lowest level. The power isn't there.
Well, any power you are given is just an illusion.
It is an illusion.
Because you don't really hold power unless you're at the highest level. Right. Which is how we've talked about this before, that it's like a microcosm of society. What happens in the military is just a very small example of what happens in the greater population, economy, culture of the United States. That like the people at the top, they hold the real power.
Yeah.
Just like outside the military, the people at the top, these CEOs, they with the money, they hold the real power. But I wonder, in bringing it back to like the emotional level, for you and my understanding of you, there is a desire to feel a connection with others, to create community, to do what it is that we function as human beings in connection and relationship with other people. And so patriarchy really prevents that. It pulls people apart. It pulls people from real connection because it's separating that emotional and attachment need.
Right.
And it's saying, well, that's okay for women, but men don't need that.
Yeah.
And so men have been really lacking this for a long time. And now for someone like you who wants it and craves it and knows they need it, how do you function in this world? How do you think about that when you're raising three boys who you want to be able to connect with?
Professionally, fighting that is very easy because everyone is opposite of me. So I am very counter to everyone and how they kind of go through stuff.
How is that easy?
Because they're just like, I'm slower. I'm slower. So if you give somebody who is bought in 100%, it's going to be very simple. Dude, because I said so. Right? Because I said so.
Mm.
That's why. That person checks their emotions at the door, right? Like the whole patriarchal kind of thing set up for you to be successful.
Mm.
I'm like, no, like, okay, what's a reasonable time? Because am I really doing the work? First of all, am I really doing the work, or am I going to have a team that I have to assemble and have to get into, like, dude, what's going on with you? Right? What is going on with you? Are you a single dad? Are you?
But have you noticed when you're like that as a leader at work, when you are more of that relational type of leader, do you feel like you get better results?
Like couldn't. Yes.
Yeah.
Way better results. And like this odd willingness to work. All of a sudden, instead of being told what to do, and because I said so, dude, those people are working minimum as possible. Unless they're told, you know, hey, call your significant others or whatever. You're working late tonight, right? Those folks will, the folks that you have bought in the team concept and everything that a team means to me, do they'll go home? Because I know that they need to go home for whatever reason and be on time and be there for their like other side of their life. And they'll like work at home. They'll like do these things, and then everything will come back together, and it'll be really simple.
I find it interesting that you're saying this idea of like team, which I think goes against like that power and control, right? Like you're describing one side, which is I'm in charge. You do what I say because I said it, versus this other side that's more collaborative and relational team. And in your experience, being more collaborative and relational has been more successful for you.
Yeah.
But you're trying to do that in an environment that is still the individualistic, you know, men rule, men have power, control, and men and people like men who exude those masculine behaviors.
Yeah.
I'm using air quotes. How does that impact you as like a dad?
No, I just tell them what I've experienced, and the boys listen as much as they can. Because I can friggin' talk for a long time. And they're just like, Joaquin is starting to ask more questions. And so I answer those questions and he's thinking. Mm. And I ask, what questions do you have? Does that make sense? And he'll, you know, does that make sense when I try to stay away from? Like, what questions do you have? I want more questions. Because he has to understand that. He has to understand not necessarily what I experienced, but like how it could come across. Mm-hmm. Because his teachers are in that society and of that age. And that means that the kids his age are typically, you know, parents are going to be close to our age, struggling with kids at that age. I mean, the hormones are crazy. What a difference 1 year makes. Mm. And you got to talk about everything. And I refuse to let them be a descendant of like what I grew up in.
Mm. Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like God bless how I grew up. I was like not wanting for anything, spoiled, taken care of. Okay.
But according to those standards, right? That you had a provider who provided a certain level of like financial stability for you. Right. Because I think when you get into that area where many people argue, well, I turned out fine. Well, I'm okay. I mean, I hear this all the time when it comes to like quality time with parents. I didn't get it, but I was fine. When it comes to nonviolent forms of punishment, well, I was spanked. I turned out fine. Like we have normalized so deeply these harmful behaviors in relationships when it's supposed to be the safest person for a child. It's supposed to be the person, like you think parents are not supposed to hurt me. So whatever they're doing, it can't be hurtful,
right?
Even though it can be physical punishment, emotional abuse, emotional neglect. We grow up in that environment believing our parents can never hurt us. And so we normalize that as not hurtful behavior. That is a symptom of patriarchy.
Mm.
Because in this dynamic with men holding the power and control and women being responsible for everything else, right? Like you said, men just have to go to work and provide, and then their job is done. They've accomplished what they needed to. I think that, like, how could we not expect women to struggle and, you know, feel like they're losing their minds because their mind is being split and spread apart, being responsible for so much? So then you have this dynamic where women are holding so much space and managing so many things that often children and their emotional needs are neglected by both parents, but the woman is held responsible because according to patriarchy, that's her responsibility.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that sucks. So how am I trying to get through that? I apologize a lot to my kids.
Mm. You take up more of that emotional space.
I know that like I neglected my son tonight. Okay. John was saying his ear was hurting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, uh-huh. It's water from the pool. John has grown up with freaking two sets of tubes in his ears. I'm trying to be like, John is sensitive, more sensitive than the our other two boys who didn't have that problem. But I'm like struggling to be there emotionally for him. And like, are you okay, John? Let me hold you, John. Let me try to fix this, John. I mean, I looked up what to do, and that's why I had his head hanging over the bed, just so that the water could potentially like just drip out like it does for me when I do whatever I do to get water out of my ear after the pool.
But it's interesting to me that your like automatic response is to like go into problem solve mode, right? You have this problem. I'm going to fix it because that's my role. And the part that you struggle with is that emotional connection part.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. So, like, I wanted to fix John's ear.
So he stopped feeling that way.
But I only did that. I only did that because John's like, I need help.
Right. But I think this is a great dynamic where you're recognizing that it requires both. It requires both being able to solve problems because you can tolerate the emotions that come up. I think often people struggle with the emotional part, and so they can't ever get to the problem solving part, or they only can live in the problem solving part and they never get to that emotional part. You need both, especially with your children. But in any relationship, you need both.
Yes. In any relationship, period.
Yeah.
Right. Like the person that you're working with is going through shit and you can't see any of it. So like that is at work.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with that. And you're not really consciously dealing with that, but you're dealing with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're coming at you with stuff.
Yeah. Think about it even in like partnership or in our relationship. Like this idea that when a woman can hold emotional space and also solve problems, it becomes a threat. Right? That this idea that if you can handle your emotions and you can fix this problem, you no longer need me, which means I have no power in this relationship.
You see that a lot at work, or do you see that a lot in society?
I think that women experience this a lot in their relationships.
In like all relationships, like even female and female?
Well, I wouldn't say woman to woman I think that that's like a whole other dynamic that we could get into. Because okay, I so think there's like so many other layers to that with like competition and all that. But I think when it comes to existing in a patriarchal society in these kinds of relationships, like we're talking about male and like men and women
right.
You know, how even women who hold positions of power and jobs, I think that often they can experience where if they're able to manage their emotions and be a leader, right, then they're labeled as really derogatory terms. Or people often will like over-sexualize them to kind of bring them down a level, right? Mm. Which is also then insinuating that sex is like seen as maybe not something that's powerful for women to hold, but powerful for men to hold.
Or like only for men.
Well, yeah, because if men can over-sexualize women, it makes women weaker. But when men are like over-sexual, they're stronger. So right, it's just this another dynamic where men have set these rules and society has just accepted them. So I think that kind of making this full circle back to like parenting, I think we've both chosen to use knowledge and experience as a way of helping the kids navigate how they can just be more aware of their role in all of this system.
Yeah, like that is what's happening in our house. And I will tell you 150% that that's because of your leadership. So
thanks.
Like, my reading, my knowledge, my gain, if I've gained anything, it's because I've started to follow people that are really kind of interesting in the psych game of Instagram or TikTok or whatever. Like, those folks are like showing me things, mm-hmm. right? And I bring them to you and I discuss them with you, whether I quote them or not is another thing. But like,
yeah,
that 150% of it is you. Because you've studied a lot of things and you've read a lot of things. And that's, you know, when you're a family therapist, you're looking at the system of a family a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's been really helpful for me. And like, I'm bought in. I'm bought in because I married you because I couldn't stand what I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And I saw all the things in you that I wanted to get away from how I grew up. And then I see me go backwards, right? In a lot of ways, in our marriage, in our growth of our family, and then having to like remember what I'm here for, right? And what I'm here for is to have a better world, which is, you know, my world. And I have kids that are men in training, and they will be better than me, than the world that I grew up in. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they have to know how to operate in a patriarchal society and know how to bust through some boundaries and some walls mm-hmm. that are set up against them right now. Mm-hmm. They are brown. That is a boundary that they have to bust up against.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you address that with them?
Not entirely addressed right now. Not entirely addressed right now. When they have black friends, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, that person's black. Like, even me getting used to saying that so that they're used to it. No, that person is black. It's not a bad thing. That is their skin color. You are brown, right? That person is white. And there is systems that are set up for and against each yeah. one of those colors of skin. It's insane.
Well,
just them knowing it and talking about
yes.
it is a big deal. It's a big deal. Well, why, Papa? Well, we need to educate you now. Because I don't know all the things.
I think that's one of the hardest things for me is that like reality of I'm learning these things as I'm trying to teach my child
yeah.
and I'm trying to do better and I'm not always getting it right. And, you know, I'm sure there are things that I've said in the past that, well, I know there are things that I've said in the past that I absolutely regret. And that I'm always trying to be better, but I'm active in that. I'm not just passive and like, well, you know, I hope it'll get better. Like I'm actively trying to understand my responsibility as a human being. And I think we're trying to do that with the children at the same time and showing them like we are responsible for each other, for ourselves, for the impact that we have on the people around us. And we've had to talk to Joaquin about you know, being silent and staying silent is a way of like, what's the word? Complicit, right? Like you are, if
that
you're
is
not,
his behavior. Don't, you can't say you didn't do anything because by yeah, not doing anything, you did something.
Right. Like it's a way of making yeah, a statement.
It's an action.
Yes. By even not saying anything. And that doesn't always like teaching him what that actually means. Like you don't always have to say something in the moment that puts you in danger, but there are ways that you can use your voice to speak what is right and what is true and what is good for the community. And I think that like education and knowledge and also experience, like we live in Florida. And I don't think our population here where we live in Florida is very diverse at all. And so how can we expect our children to love and respect and know and understand the differences that make all of us so unique and beautiful when they're never around anything different? And like Joaquin taking seventh grade civics this year and all the things that he's going to study in civics, how are we helping him to have a diverse amount of knowledge and information that can help inform his reality to be true and not just from this lens, this bias that we've been talking about today of patriarchy? Because I think that's really what it is. It all really comes down to knowledge, education, experience, and relationships. And if patriarchy is the funnel for which you get all of those, you're not going to have real connection. You're not even going to live in reality.
Yeah.
You're living in this, that system that they've created.
Yeah.
But the reality is like, we are all so different. We're all so unique. We're all so human and have these, everyone has like a blend of these human traits and feelings and personalities and skills and abilities. And they just make us more human. They don't make us more masculine or more feminine. They make us more human. I think that it's so important to create diversity in your own life experiences and also in your children's life experiences.
You know, that's a lot of responsibility as a parent, and it's a lot of responsibility as a person to like do those things, you know, to really grow. Like Dr. King said, like travel will broaden your gaze. Right. And travel's expensive.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, wise words, expensive things that never really went down, you know, to like aid us. And then our trains in the United States are slower than dirt. So who wants to go on a train? It takes 17 hours to get somewhere I could drive.
Even as I hear you say those things, I'm like, these are all the narratives that we've been given. And we just, like, we just take and absorb as like, who wants to take a train? Like, it's not fast enough. Like, we are so in like embedded in this system of like speed, production, money. Like, I'm not some crazy hippie. Like, I own my own business. I want to make money. I like having nice things and I buy things. But I think that to a certain extent, like, we all have to realize that these are all mechanisms used to pull us apart from each other, right? To create competition, to create, you know, different class levels. And like, think about how the clothing that someone wears separates them in a group, like bad or good. So I think it's just in noticing that we're all kind of conditioned to think this way, that a 17-hour train ride is a bad thing because it's slow. When in reality, it's like, yeah, but who are you on the train with? What are the sights that you get to see? You know, what kind of conversations are you having? Who are you sitting near that you can learn from? Like that, getting back to that relational aspect. Like, I think it's just so hard because, like, I would love to ride a train. Am I in good company? Like, I don't want to ride a train alone. That sounds boring. But if I'm like with you or with my friends, like the boys.
Right. That experience is important. And then realizing that in those experiences that you're really like a lot of people.
Yeah.
You're not alone. I mean, you can go 9,000 miles from here and not speak the same language as somebody and realize through Google Translate that, wow, I can get a lot done here and we can have a conversation with Google Translate. And like, we have a lot in common. You're fighting with your wife. That's amazing. I had a fight with my wife too. And she's 9,000 miles away. And you speak Arabic and I speak English. Oh, wow.
That sounds very personal.
Wow. Like,
that's a real
like
experience.
That's actually happened?
Like,
yeah.
That's a real experience.
Because it did. Right? And it's just like, you have a lot in common.
But it's our humanness that bonds us to each other.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
That these shared experiences create shared meaning.
I mean, real human experiences. Some of the people that I don't even remember their name have left a really good imprint on me. But it was another human. Doesn't matter their sex, like at all. And man, but we're all part of this system And we have our own thoughts and our own, you know, everything's good and everything's bad. And we have our own thoughts about these systems that we're in. I think recognizing that we're in a system is hard enough.
Yeah.
For a lot of folks. And then what are you willing to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like our friend Mike from Wichita Falls, like he's running for office right now.
Mm.
You know, in Wichita Falls. Like he's like trying to do shit about what he doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Not everybody can do that. I like challenge everything. I'm noticing that.
You're good?
I'm good at that.
Oh.
So, okay. Not everybody can run for office. Not everybody can create change.
Mm.
Not everybody can afford to, you know, campaign and all the things.
Okay.
Fine.
Fair. I disagree with some of this.
I think that, oh.
Yeah. Everyone can run for office. There are things that you are in. Right.
Not everyone can be successful at running for office.
Fair. Right.
So, but I think that even in that aspect, you're assuming that everyone has the knowledge, the tenacity, the bravery to run for office.
What I'm assuming is they recognize they're in a system and they want to change it and they're willing to do the things that it takes to change it.
But that's what I'm saying.
So that is a lot of assumptions.
The things that you have to do in order to change the way that you are in relationship with the system is to first be aware of that. And I think that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, is that there's so many people who are not aware that they are a part of this system. And then there are a whole other group of people who acknowledge that there's a system and are like, but I'm not a part of that. And think that they can exist separate from it, even though it is what we all grew up in, what we were all raised and conditioned in, and what we continue to live and exist in. I guess that's my opinion. I think my opinion's right.
Well, I
don't know.
You have a very strong opinion, and a lot of people disagree with you. And those people who know the systems there and are like, but I'm not in that system. Dude, the unknown is the scariest thing in the world.
But you know what I think is interesting?
So keep it unknown. I'm in the know.
Yes.
I'm safe.
I absolutely agree with you that there is some fear for many people that having the knowledge means that, like, having the knowledge and awareness means that you have to then be accountable. And that's scary and that's hard. But I think what was interesting, that's something that my therapist told me, is that, like, to always be in a place where you're like educating people and pushing this information on people and challenging people. And, you know, it, not every moment is a teaching moment. And so when you do that, it becomes more about power and control. And I think that's the problem, is we can't fight power and control by seeking more power and control. When people see that the way of being a human and working in relationships and community and connection, like when people see that and experience that, they are drawn to it. I think this is why the power of like real true Christianity and real true community-based religions and societies is so desirable, because it creates a sense of safety. Like when it is truly about the good of the whole, when it is truly about the people and connecting and having relationships with each other and supporting each other, instead of seeking power and control over each other, that becomes like this beacon. That's what and I feel like that's what my therapist is showing me, is that just by living that way, by really being true and honest and genuine about living that way, people will be drawn to it because they will feel safe around you. And I think that's something that for myself personally that I struggle with, because I still seek that power and control. Like I want to tell people you're wrong. Like that's power and control. That's not creating safety for others. That's not living in this like relational aspect. Right? That I don't necessarily have to agree with other people, but I also don't need to become in this position of I'm better and I know more and I'm, you know, I'm in control of all the knowledge and awareness. Like I don't know better than a lot of people, and I don't know a lot of people's situations. So I think it's hard to hold space for people who are not on this wavelength or agreeing with this way of thinking.
It's so hard.
To hold space for them and just be like, okay, that works for you. And like, this works for me. Because I think sometimes it feels like they're in such contradiction with each other. They're not in competition. They're not in competition.
Well, they're both right.
They're both a way of being.
They're both, okay, I like that. They're both a way of being. And if they can't consent to having a conversation and learning from each other,
yeah,
then there's almost no point in even debating, because you're seeking to be right. You're seeking to be vote to get the votes.
I think if anything, this would be a good place to end, that if patriarchy is about power and control for men, the response is not about having power and control over others. Like, our response to patriarchy cannot be to try and gain power and control over other people. The response to patriarchy is to have awareness, to gain new experiences, and to think relationally in community. To like show up as a human being and to receive others in their own humanness.
I like it.
I think I'm ready to go to bed now. Okay. Are you ready to go to bed?
No, I'm fired up.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm fired up.
Well, I'm really grateful you came on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm really grateful too.
Yeah.
I hope that,
I hope we made sense, because I think it'll be fun.
Well, I don't make sense. So like, I'm like, no. I know that I'm like all over the place. No. So, I get real comfortable, but I'm uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And this is really good.
Is there any last thought that you have that you think like the listeners should know about?
Well, what I learned is that just a higher sense of awareness of the patriarchal society, that there is literature out there to help you, and that it matters through relationships to get through this. And I appreciate those things that I learned. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm sure we'll have you on again. Sure. We'll have you. We, all the people, it's just me.
All the people of my business. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You're
a boss.
I love you too.
If you want to hear more from The Good, The Bad, The Family, please subscribe. Or you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @alucero_mft. Thanks for listening. I'm a licensed and trained marriage and family therapist, but this podcast is not a replacement for therapeutic advice. If you need help finding a therapist, visit psychologytoday.com to find a therapist in your area.